Yes, so now we're reading from the beginning of the 12th chapter. So now this is again, it is about Krishna and his devotees, right? So in the 4th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, the sages, see there are sages, just to remind all of you, there are sages in Naimisharanya and they are sitting together and they get together because Kali Yuga has started and all the bad elements and bad things of Kali Yuga are beginning to come. So out of compassion for what will unfold in Kali Yuga, these sages get together and they do a 1,000-year sacrifice so that they can benefit the people of Kali Yuga, so that the people of Kali Yuga are protected from all these different problems over there that will happen in Kali Yuga. So this is the compassion the great sages have, the great devotees have. So we also want to develop this type of compassion in our heart. So when they are sitting, and then there is Suta Goswami is over there. So Suta Goswami, they ask him, what should we do? So then they start hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from him. So Suta Goswami had heard the Srimad Bhagavatam spoken by Sukadev Goswami, who was the son of Vyasadev, to Parikshit Maharaj. So Sukadev Goswami spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. Who was Sukadev Goswami? He was the son of Vyasadev. And who was Parikshit Maharaj? Parikshit Maharaj was the grandson of the Pandavas. He was born in Uttara's womb. Uttara was Abhimanyu's wife. So Parikshit Maharaj was born from Uttara's womb. So he was thus the grandson of the Pandavas. So Parikshit Maharaj was cursed that he will die in 7 days. So when he was cursed that he will die in 7 days, he inquired from all the sages at that time as to what the best thing for him to do was. He definitely understood, I'm not supposed to, you know, continue with this kingly life and all these things, because the ultimate duty of a person who is dying is to remember the personality of God when we are at the deathbed. Now the only way we can do that is when we cultivate an entire life of remembering the Lord, then even on death we can remember the Lord, because death is a very overwhelming experience. See, even if I fall sick a little bit, I cannot remember the Lord. Forget sick, normal day also I cannot remember the Lord. So, you know, what will happen when we are on our deathbed? So Parikshit Maharaj understood that, you know, because he had cultivated a devotional life and he was the son of the great, grandson of the great devotees, the Pandavas, he knew that he is supposed to take shelter of the Lord. So then he hears for 7 days continuously the Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukadev Goswami. So Sukadev Goswami instructs Parikshit Maharaj. And when he is instructing Parikshit Maharaj, Suta Goswami is one of the people in the audience. So all the sages and the devatas are assembled over there because they also want to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? Because it is about the Lord and they are so eager to hear about the Lord. So Suta Goswami has heard that in that particular assembly. So when the sages in Naimisharanya are doing the sacrifice and Suta Goswami is there, so then Suta Goswami repeats whatever he has heard in the conversation between Sukadev Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj, the 7 days that Parikshit Maharaj hears from Sukadev Goswami, he asks him questions and Sukadev Goswami asks those questions. So then the sages in Naimisharanya, when they are assembled, they ask a lot of questions to Suta Goswami. So Suta Goswami is throughout the course of Bhagavatam, one by one answering their questions. Just like Sukadev Goswami is answering the questions of Parikshit Maharaj, so Suta Goswami is also answering the questions that the sages of Naimisharanya had raised. So one of the questions the sages of Naimisharanya, headed by Shaunaka Rishi, had raised was that, who is Parikshit? What are his activities? Please tell us about his birth. How come he was such a great devotee of the Lord? How come when he was dying and how did he take shelter of the Lord? How did he, you know, engage himself totally in hearing and chanting about the Lord? We want to learn all this. So that is, so now Shaunaka Rishi is asking that question again. He is reminding Suta Goswami in the first verse of the 12th chapter. And now it may seem abrupt to us that suddenly what happened? Krishna went to Dwarka and now what is this? Why are they asking about Parikshit Maharaj? No, because it is all related to the Lord. We may think, oh, that was Krishna's story going on now, you know, no, all this is all about the Lord. Because Parikshit Maharaj is a great devotee of the Lord. उवाच अश्वत्थामोपपश्रस्तेन ब्रह्मशीर्षणोरुतेजसा उत्तराय हतो रिलीज्ड बाय अश्वत्थामा बट महाराज परीक्षित वॉज सेव्ड बाय द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड. सो नाउ शौनक ऋषि इज रिमेम्बरिंग दैट यस यू नो इन द सेवेंथ चैप्टर यू एक्सप्लेन टू अस दैट इन द वूम ऑफ उत्तरा महाराज परीक्षित वॉज देयर एंड अश्वत्थामा हैड थ्रोन दिस ब्रह्मास्त्र बट देन द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड हिमसेल्फ एंटर्ड द वूम एंड ही प्रोटेक्टेड दिस परीक्षित महाराज राइट. सो श्री प्रभुपाद इज राइटिंग इन द पर्पोर्ट The sages assembled in the forest of Naimisharanya inquired from Suta Goswami about the birth of Maharaj Parikshit. But in the course of the narration, other topics like the release of the Brahmastra by the son of Drona, his punishment by Arjuna, Queen Kunti Devi's prayers, the Pandavas' visit to the palace where Bhishma Dev was lying, his prayers, and thereafter, the Lord's departure for Dwarka were discussed. His arrival at Dwarka and residing with 16,000 queens, etc. were narrated. The sages were absorbed in hearing such descriptions, but now they wanted to turn to the original topic, and thus the inquiry was made by Shaunaka Rishi. So now they are renewing this topic, right? Why? Because they want to know about Parikshit Maharaj and about how he took shelter when he was cursed to die in 7 days, and what instructions did he receive from Sukadev Goswami. So there is one lecture by Govind Prabhu, and in that he says that an ideal disciple is one who takes a general instruction as a personal instruction. So many times we hear many instructions in the lectures that we hear in the temple and online, right? When we go to ISKCON Desire Tree and we hear so many lectures. Now, a good disciple is one who, when we hear a lecture, we take it as a personal instruction for ourselves. So these sages of Naimisharanya, they want to know about what Sukadev Goswami instructed Parikshit Maharaj when he was dying, because they want to take that instruction for themselves and they want that whole thing repeated for us also. So therefore they are reviving this whole topic of Parikshit Maharaj. Text 2. Tasya janma mahabuddhe karmani cha mahatmana nidhanam cha yathaivasit sa pritya gatavan yatha. How was the great emperor Parikshit, who was a highly intelligent and great devotee, born in that womb? How did his death take place and what did he achieve after his death? See, though the devotees of the Lord are very interested in knowing about the other devotees of the Lord and exalted devotees and all devotees, because the activities of the devotees are very amazing. So we want to learn from those activities of the devotees. Right? So therefore we want to hear about them. We want to hear about their pastimes. We want to hear about what all they do, how they deal with different situations in a Krishna conscious way, so that we can also learn. Right? So in the beginning, in the middle of the chapter, it is said, Prabhupada is telling, Maharaj Parikshit is especially famous as one who is protected by Vishnu. And when he was unduly cursed by a Brahmana's son, he could have invoked the mercy of the Lord to save him. But he did not want to, because he was a pure devotee. A pure devotee never asked the Lord for any undue favor. Maharaj Parikshit knew that the curse of the Brahmana's son upon him was unjustified, as everyone else knew. But he did not want to counteract it, because he knew also that the age of Kali had begun, and that the first symptom of the age, namely degradation of the highly talented Brahmana community, had also begun, because he was cursed wrongly. The Brahmanas have the Brahma Tejas. The reason they have the power is because they have the quality of forgiveness and forbearance and tolerance. But when... So then that means they will not curse in a wrong way. Because they can forgive and tolerate, they will not curse unnecessarily. They will curse only when some religious principles have been not taken care of. They will not do it if somebody is personally offending them, because they have high qualities of forgiveness and tolerance and forbearance. Right? But here, this Brahmana's son, he unnecessarily cursed Parikshit Maharaj with a very severe curse of dying in 7 days. The offense Parikshit Maharaj had done was extremely small. But the curse he got was very big. And in fact, the father of that Brahmana's son, he came and asked forgiveness to Maharaj Parikshit. I'm so sorry, my son cursed you like this. And I can do something where we can, counteract this curse. But Parikshit Maharaj said, no, I will just accept it as the Lord's will. So Prabhupada writes down, he did not want to interfere with the current of the time, but he prepared himself to meet death very cheerfully and very properly. Being fortunate, he got at least 7 days to prepare himself to meet death. And so he properly utilized the time in the association of Sukadeva Goswami, the great saint and the devotee of the Lord. Text 3. Tat idam shrotum icchamo graditum yari manyase bruhina shraddha dhananam yasya gyanam. We all respectfully want to hear about him, Maharaj Parikshit, to whom Sukadeva Goswami imparted transcendental knowledge. Please speak on this matter, right? So we want to hear this about this great personality. And in the purport, Prabhupada is describing about the process of hearing and chanting. And he's writing down at the 10th line in the purport, transcendental realization is attained by such hearing and chanting and not otherwise. There is a type of spiritual master and disciple much advertised in this age of Kali. It is said that the master injects spiritual force into the disciple by an electric current generated by the master, and the disciple begins to feel the shock. He becomes unconscious, and the master weeps for his exhausting his store of so-called spiritual assets. Such bogus advertisement is going on in this age, and the poor common man is becoming the victim of such advertisement. We do not find such folk tales in the dealing of Sukadeva Goswami and his great disciple Maharaj Parikshit. The sage recited Srimad Bhagavatam in devotion, and the great king heard him properly. And also now the Shaunaka Rishi, the sages of Naimisharanya, are hearing very properly from Suta Goswami. The king did not feel any shock of electric current from the master, nor did he become unconscious while receiving knowledge from the master. One should not therefore become a victim of these unauthorized advertisements made by some bogus representatives of Vedic knowledge. The sages of Naimisharanya were very respectful in hearing about Maharaj Parikshit because of his receiving knowledge from Sukadeva Goswami by means of ardent hearing. Ardent hearing from the bona fide master is the only way to receive transcendental knowledge, and that there is no need for medical performances or occult mysticism or miraculous effects. The process is simple, but only the sincere party can achieve the desired result. So the point is, we have to submit ourselves to hearing like an ardent student. We all are, but just knowing this repeatedly is very important. That is the way for spiritual advancement. And the taste to hear all these things will come when we serve the devotees of the Lord very nicely. So that is very important. Text 4. Suta Uvacha Apipala Dharmaraja Pitravadranjayan Praja Nishriha Sarvakamebhya Krishna Padanu Sevaya. Shri Suta Goswami said, Emperor Yudhishthir administered generously to everyone during his reign. He was exactly like his father. He had no personal ambition and was freed from all sorts of sense gratification because of his continuous service under the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. So here now Suta Goswami is talking about the greatness of Emperor Yudhishthir. Because Emperor Yudhishthir is the grandfather of Parikshit Maharaj. And after Emperor Yudhishthir, I think in the 15th chapter, when there is discussion in the Bhagavatam about the Pandavas retiring from all these duties, and Parikshit Maharaj is made the king. So Yudhishthir instructs Parikshit Maharaj in the services of an ideal king. So the king also is very well versed in the science of Krishna consciousness. And by knowing the science of Krishna consciousness, they rule the kingdom not as I am the Ishwar of this place, I am the Bhogi of this place, I am the king, guys, come on, look at me, you gotta worship me, if you don't worship me, I'm gonna cut you and do this to you and that to you. No, they don't worship for their own needs. They worship on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that law and order and administration is properly maintained. Why? Not to increase the sense gratification of the people, or not to increase the opulence of the people only, but so that the citizens can properly focus on their spiritual lives. if the law and order and administration and everything is going on properly and the needs of the citizens are met, then they don't have to unnecessarily worry about all these things, but they get a proper atmosphere by which they can serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead and further their devotional service. So Prabhupada in this purport is explaining this particular point. And now he's telling that because the kings are becoming kings for their own benefit. See, people are after, either they are after money or they are after, you know, the power. They may have a lot of money, but they want that thing to become the prime minister or to become just like India elections. Now if you follow the news, what all is going on just because somebody wants power. So people want power. So then all these people are trying to cut each other, do this to each other. Nobody is worried so much about the benefit of the citizens. They are all worried about who is going to come to power so that we can make the maximum money. And such people will go to hell. We may not see the result right now, but they will go to hell. Because they are not doing the duty that has come with the position they are after. But we need people like Yudhishthir Maharaj, who serve the citizens on behalf of the king. When we visited Europe, and if or you all read about European history, and when you read there and you see the museums, and once we were in one of the cities there and we saw one museum, and we saw the room of the king. The palace was very opulent, extremely opulent palace. But the room of the king was the most austere in the entire palace. And then the guide was telling us that king used to wake up at 3 o'clock. He used to freshen up. And then for 2 hours he used to pray to God. He had a prayer schedule. And those 2 hours he used to pray to God to give him the wisdom and the strength and the guidance so that he could rule on behalf of the Lord. So Christianity also had that. And in fact, in the Bhagavatam we read that all the kings in Europe were actually the Kshatriyas who had escaped from India, Bharatvarsh, because they were not following the Kshatriya Dharma properly. So Parshuram, the Lord came as Parshuram and he drove all the bad kings away. So then these bad kings took shelter in Europe and Egypt. So therefore you will find a lot of similarities in the civilization and in the, you know, in the type of worship and in the way in which they worshipped and the type of things they lived with and the culture. You'll find a lot of similarities in that. So text 5. News if I'll read the Sanskrit. Sampada Kritavo Loka Mahishi Brataro Mahi Jambudvipadipattayam Cha Yashasa Trizvivangyatam. News even reached the celestial planets about Maharaj Yudhishthira's worldly possessions, the sacrifices by which he would attain a better destination, his queen, his stalwart brothers, his extensive land, his sovereignty over the planet Earth, his fame, etc. Only a rich and great man's name and fame are known all over the world. And the name and fame of Maharaj Yudhishthira reached the higher planets because of his good administration, worldly possessions, glorious wife Draupadi, the strength of his brothers Bhima and Arjuna, and his solid sovereign power over the world known as Jambudvipa. So here the word loka is significant. There are different lokas or higher planets scattered all over the sky, both material and spiritual. So Prabhupada is writing down that for every planet there is a qualification and you cannot just force yourself and enter. You know, just because you've discovered some vehicles, it's not that you will be able to enter all these different planets. Like this whole thing about whether the people reach the moon or not. There are half the 50% of the American population says they did and 50% says based on scientific evidence they did not. And Prabhupada says you cannot enter the moon planet without any qualification. So they did not enter. And if people are sinful, they cannot enter such higher realms. That's the point Prabhupada is trying to make. And here Yudhishthir Maharaj was unparalleled and unchallenged because he was such a good king. All the other kings willingly surrendered unto him. And they had actually, all of them had helped him in the war also. And they all surrendered unto him because he was such an ideal king of the planet. And all the other planetary systems also would hear about Yudhishthir Maharaj. News would travel. See, they didn't need internet. Text 6. Kimta kama sura sparha mukunda manasodvija arija hrurmudam ragnya kshuddhitasya yathetara. So, O Brahmanas, the opulence of the king was so enchanting that the denizens of heaven aspired for it. But because he was absorbed in the service of the Lord, Nothing could satisfy him except the Lord's service. Amazing, right? See, he didn't get trapped in any of those things. For whatever the level of opulence he had, even the denizens of heaven aspired for it. But here, see, the devotee develops the same type of qualities as the Lord. The Lord is Atmaram. So the devotee also has, here, is self-satisfied in a different way. He's completely satisfied in the self, which is the relationship of the self with the Lord. So he's deeply situated in his relationship of service to Lord Shri Krishna, and he's completely satisfied in that. In fact, more than satisfied in that. And he's not attracted to anything of the material energy. So if we find ourselves, you know, the inspiration we want to take from this is that, okay, if for me to get rid of the taste I have for material enjoyment, I need to develop my relationship with the Lord. I need to go deeper in my relationship with the Lord. And that comes by following the processes of Bhakti Yoga. Right? And Prabhupada is writing down in the first paragraph that if someone is serving everyone very nicely, and someone is serving on behalf of the Lord very nicely, then these blessings of the Lord and everyone, all the souls whom that person is serving, and the guru sadhu and the entire disciplic succession, the blessings follow automatically, right? And then the second paragraph, Prabhupada is writing down very nicely. The whole material world is full of hungry living beings. The hunger is not for good food, shelter, or sense gratification. The hunger is for the spiritual atmosphere. Due to ignorance only, they think that the world is dissatisfied because there is not sufficient food, shelter, defense, and objects of sense gratification. This is called illusion. When the living being is hungry for spiritual satisfaction, he is misrepresented by material hunger. So basically, even we ourselves, Prabhupada is talking in terms of the leaders, but we have this hunger for that spiritual atmosphere, hunger to satisfy the needs of the soul, hunger for the soul to situate itself in its relationship with Krishna and serve Krishna. So that hunger is there, but because we don't have the knowledge of how to satisfy that hunger, we try to consume different things, hoping that the hunger will be satisfied, but the hunger never gets satisfied. Right? So we replace it by material things. We try to satisfy by material things, but it cannot be satisfied. See, sometimes when you really want to drink water, no matter how much soda, how much pop, how much juice is given to you, you still are hankering for water only. So similarly, the soul is hankering for that spiritual atmosphere, that chance to do the service, that chance to go closer in the relationship with the Lord. But if we give it different things, that particular hunger is not getting satisfied. So it's important that we understand this. Text 7. मातुर्गर्भगतो वीरा स तदा भृगुनन्दना ददर्शपुरुषं कञ्चिद् दह्यमानोऽस्तु तेजसा. ओ सन् ऑफ भृगु, वेन् द चाइल्ड परीक्षित, द ग्रेट फाइटर हू वॉज इन द वूम्ब ऑफ हिज मदर उत्तरा एंड वॉज सफरिंग फ्रॉम द बर्निंग हीट ऑफ द ब्रह्मास्त्र थ्रोन बाय अश्वत्थामा, ही कुड ऑब्जर्व द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड कमिंग टू हिम. Death generally involves remaining in trance for 7 months. A living being, according to his own action, is allowed to enter into the womb of a mother by the vehicle of a father's semen, and thus he develops his desired body. This is a law of birth in specific bodies according to one's past actions. When he is awake from trance, he feels the inconvenience of being confined within the womb, and thus he wants to come out of it, and sometimes fortunately prays to the Lord for such liberation. So they say that the child in the womb is praying to the Lord, but not all of them. It's only the saintly children, the saintly soul will pray in the womb of the mother that, you know, okay, I understand this is a very terrible thing. Birth is such a misery. So please, when I come out, I am definitely going to devote my time to serve you. So Maharaj Parikshit, while in the womb of his mother, was struck by the Brahmastra released by Ashwatthama, and he was feeling the burning heat. But because he was a devotee of the Lord, the Lord at once appeared within himself, within the womb, by his all-powerful energy, and the child could see that someone else had come to save him. Even in that helpless condition, the child Parikshit endured the unbearable temperature due to his being a great fighter by nature, and for this reason the word Veera has been used. So the Lord, the Brahmastra Ashwatthama, was so envious. He wanted to remove the last trace of the Pandavas. So he thought that, you know, this child in the womb needs to go. then they cannot produce anymore, because all the five sons of Draupadi had been killed. Abhimanyu was killed, so the only person who could carry forward the generation was this Parikshit. So he wanted to kill that, end that dynasty. But the Lord, because Maharaj Parikshit was a devotee and he was a grandson of his devotees, the Lord personally entered the womb of Uttara, because Uttara came running to the Lord in the 7th chapter we read, and she's, or 8th or 7th I think, and then she's praying, please protect, protect, Krishna Krishna Mahabaho, you know, if I have to die, let it happen, but please protect the child in my womb. Right? So then Krishna personally enters the womb, and Parikshit Maharaj can remember that particular person who had entered in his in the womb. Text 8. Angushta matram mamalam spurat purata maulinam apivya darshanam shyamam tadid vasa samachutam. He, the Lord, was only thumb high, but he was all transcendental. He had a very beautiful, blackish, infallible body, and he wore a dress of lightning yellow and a helmet of blazing gold. Thus he was seen by the child. Text 9. Shri Madhirga Chatur Bahum Tapta Kanchana Kundalam Kshata Jakshangala Panim Atmana Sarvatodisham Pari Brahmantamulka Bham Brahmyantangadamuhu. The Lord was enriched with four hands, earrings of molten gold, and eyes blood red with fury. So why was the Lord angry? Because the Lord was angry that someone was harming his devotee. As he loitered about, his club constantly encircled him like a shooting star. So this is what Maharaj Parikshit saw in the womb, right? The Lord can become visible to his devotee, and Maharaj Parikshit, even because he was in the womb of his mother, but the Lord came as big, you know, the size of a thumb, that's what we've read. He was only a thumb high, so that he could not only protect Parikshit Maharaj, but also give his darshan to a great devotee of the Lord. Right? Text 10. Astra teja swagadaya niharam eva gat gopatai viramantam sannikarshe paryekshata ka ityasau. The Lord was thus engaged in vanquishing the radiation of the Brahmastra. Just as the sun evaporates a drop of dew, he was observed by the child who thought about who he was. So imagine, he's very helpless. The child is extremely helpless. He's piercing that great heat in that womb. And then he sees somebody has come to protect him, and he's observing, who is this person? And he's, you know, that memory is very strong for Parikshit Maharaj. Like, he is, because he's got the darshan of the Lord, he cannot forget. And the Lord is engaged in protecting the womb from the child in the womb from the radiation of the Brahmastra, that heat, so that the child, the womb is protected, the child is protected. Text 11. Vidhuya tad ameyatma bhagavan dharma guvvibhu mishato dashamasasya tatraivantara dehari. While thus being observed by the child, the Supreme Lord Personality of Godhead, the super soul of everyone and the protector of the righteous, who stretches in all directions and who is unlimited by time and space, disappeared at once. So Prabhupada writes down in the purport that who Parikshit Maharaj was seeing was not limited by time and space, right? See, we cannot make our body small. Suppose we have to go, suppose something, you know, gets stuck under the bed and you have to go inside the bed, but if the bed is too low, you cannot make your body small and say, okay, I'll make my body small now and I'll go and get this, retrieve this thing, and then and then I can make my size bigger again. We are limited by space, and then we are limited by time also, right? Because time continuously goes on, and so we have to move with the time. So we cannot say, okay, now, you know, this, I will never die only. No, when your time comes, you have to die, right? But here, the Lord, He is the protector of the righteous. He can stretch in all directions, and He is unlimited by time and space, because He could enter Uttara's womb and He was protect child Parikshit. Right? So this is what Prabhupada is describing in this particular purport. Text 12. Tatha sarva guno darke shanukula grahodaye jagye vamsha dhara pandur bhuya panduri vaujasa. Thereupon, when all the good signs of the zodiac gradually evolved, the heir apparent of Pandu, who would be exactly like him in prowess, took birth. So he had the same qualities as his grandfather and great-grandfather and father. Right? And then Prabhupada is explaining about astronomical calculations. We will read a little bit about that. Astronomical calculations of stellar influences upon a living being are not suppositions but are factual as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Every living being is controlled by the laws of nature at every minute, just as a citizen is controlled by the influence of the state. The state laws are grossly observed, but the laws of material nature, being subtle to our gross understanding, cannot be experienced grossly. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, every action of life produces another reaction which is binding upon us, and only those who are acting on behalf of Yajna are not bound by reactions. Our actions are judged by the higher authorities, the agents of the Lord, and thus we are awarded bodies according to our activities. The law of nature is so subtle that every part of our body is influenced by the respective stars, and a living being obtains his working body to fulfill his terms of imprisonment by the manipulation of such astronomical influence. A man's destiny is therefore ascertained by the birth time constellation of stars, and a factual horoscope is made by a learned astrologer. So we are, you know, based on the karma, then also when the demigods are in charge of different parts of the body, also then they look at the karma, and based on that they empower the different parts of the body. Like we were in our Bhagavatam class on Saturday mornings that we have, we were reading about Mitradev, who is in charge of the bowel movements. So then, you know, so many of people, sometimes, you know, people cannot pass stool. They reach that, they can have such kind of sickness that they cannot pass stool, and every time they eat something, they have to go to the hospital to get themselves cleared. Right? So then that is a very difficult situation. It is so, like, it's so hellish to be in that situation. But again, it is all controlled, you know, each and everything is controlled based on, as Prabhupada is explaining, on what. So we have to be very careful about the type of activities and actions we do, because we don't want to create further karma. We want to be very careful about that. We don't want to unnecessarily offend any living entity or do any of those things. And we don't want to do any bad things. We just want to do positive, transcendental things in Krishna consciousness. We want to try our best to do that. So text 30. And then Prabhupada, in the end of the purport, he's talking about how to have, you know, the right children also. I mean, so some of us may have and some of us may not have. But there are 16 purificatory rites that must be done, and those are called as the samskaras. And it all begins with the Garbhadhan samskara. So before conception itself, the mother and the father take blessings of all the gurus and the sadhus that they wish to unite to have a child, a soul, that they can serve in Krishna consciousness. And then they also chant a prescribed number of rounds before they engage in that particular service to have a child. So all these things are purificatory processes, because then the consciousness is pure, so then the child born is also of that particular consciousness. Krishna will give such a child then. So, you know, sometimes someone may say, oh, this is too much austerity, who wants to go through this? But actually, you know what, if we don't go through that austerity, I mean, all the children of our congregation are very wonderful, but this is, I'm just trying to educate in terms of what, how you can share Krishna consciousness with others. You know, this is a smaller austerity compared to dealing with a child who has no interest in, born, who has no interest in Krishna consciousness, or who's, you know, who has certain type of tendencies which are so hard to manage when they grow up. So this is a very small austerity actually, this Garbhadhan Samskara, that is done to before having a child. So that is one way in which we can share this with others. Text 13. Tasya prita mana raja viprair dhamya kripabdibhi jatakam karayam asha vacha yitvacha mangalam. King Yudhishthir was very satisfied with the birth of Maharaj Parikshit, that the purificatory process of birth performed. Learned brahmanas headed by Dhamya and Kripa recited auspicious hymns. So this is again. So one thing is, Parikshit Maharaj, the proper Garbhadhan Samskar was done. See, nowadays Garbhadhan Samskar means they are selling some CDs. You listen to these mantras when your child is in the womb. No, this Garbhadhan Samskara ceremony is a purificatory ceremony that happens even much before the child is conceived. It is done so that the mother and the father are in the right consciousness, and they have done the proper prayers for the child, so the Lord to send the proper soul, so that that soul can help them in Krishna consciousness and they can serve that soul in Krishna consciousness. So as an example, because this Kashyapa Muni and his wife, they did not, I always forget her name, Diti, So Diti did not undergo, she was, she did not follow the proper time when conception should happen. So they engaged in the act of conception in the evening, which is not considered as the auspicious time. And her husband told her no also, but she was very overcome by the desire to have a child, a son, because all her friends had sons. And then plus she was overcome by lust at that time. So whom did she have? She had Daityas like Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha as children, because it was not done properly with the right frame of mind, the right consciousness of service to Krishna, and also with the right timing, auspicious timing. So then she had Daityas as children, and what austerity is just to have demons as your children, right? So this Prabhupada is telling that, so here Yudhishthira Maharaj has done. So this before Parikshit was born also, Garbhadhan Sanskar was carried out by his parents. And then after he is born, Yudhishthira Maharaj, who, he is performing all the purificatory processes of birth. Like, even I just heard that this Mundan, this shaving of the head that happens, also is done. Some people tell, no, it is only because of you get good hair. And I see American children don't get it done. There is nothing wrong with the hair that they have. No, that's not the point. The point is that the hair of the child is the hair from the womb. And that's considered unclean. So that hair has to be removed so that the child is purified. So we understand cleanliness only in terms of gross. Okay, my body is clean, my clothes are clean, the table is clean, the house is clean. But there are subtle levels of cleanliness also, which you and I may have difficulty understanding and comprehending because we don't understand. But then it is better to just follow. So these are the subtle levels of cleanliness, all these sanskaras that clean the consciousness, that clean the, in a subtle manner, and then they have a positive impact on you, your Krishna consciousness. So in this particular thing, Prabhupada is telling that we need an intelligent class of brahmanas who know how to do all these yajnas properly that are needed for the system of varnashram dharma to go on properly. Right? So then this system of yajnas, Prabhupada is explaining in the end of the first paragraph, the Pancharatrika system acts on the Shudra class of men, supposedly the population of the Kali Yuga, and it is a prescribed purificatory process suitable to the age and time. Such a purificatory process is only for spiritual upliftment and not for any other purpose. Spiritual upliftment is never conditioned by higher or lower parentage. So now, because, see, Parikshit Maharaj had proper devotee parents, so then child is also born as a devotee with devotional consciousness. But now, because the consciousness of the people itself is not proper, the parents itself is not proper, the soul they attract is also not the proper, is not with very elevated qualities. And then the nurturing also they're not able to give because they don't know much themselves. So therefore, these purificatory processes are very important to revive the Vedic system. That's what Prabhupada is explaining. And then he's explaining all the different samskaras over here. Because then these samskaras raise us from the Shudra type of mentality to the Brahminical mentality. Like that. And then some stories also there which you all can read about Kripacharya. Text 4. And now we have not, one more point I want to say, we have not gone through the purificatory processes. We are already adults. So then what is our hope? Our hope is Srila Prabhupada. Our hope is to follow the process given to us by Srila Prabhupada, because what the process Prabhupada has given to us is the process under the parampara, under the disciplic succession, so it is full of potency and it is already described in all our scriptures. So Prabhupada has given the essence of all the scriptures. If we just follow that process, we will be purified. We will be raised from the Shudra mentality to the Brahminical mentality and go back to Godhead. Text 14. Hiranyam Gamahim Graman Hastya Ashwan Nipatir Varan Pradat Swannam Cha Viprebhya Prajatirte Satirtha Vit. Upon the birth of a son, the king, who knew how, where, and when charity should be given, gave gold, land, villages, elephants, horses, and good food grains to the Brahmanas. So then, the charity is also very important. Like my niece, my husband's niece, on her birthday we wished her. And then she said that, I said, how did you celebrate your 18th birthday? So she said that this time I decided not to have a party, but I said that whatever, I told my parents, whatever money goes in, having a party, I want to feed the people who don't have enough food. So they went to some government hospital and they fed the people over there. So there is food for the patients, but the people who come to be with the patients, right, the relatives, there is no food for them, free food. So they had to buy, and these people are very poor. So, my niece had this very nice compassion for everyone. And then she said, I want to use that money in doing this. So she was very happy. So that is a very good thing. That is something that we should all try to encourage in our lives, in our children, is this concept of charity. Because when you do charity, you become more selfless and you lose this concept of sense gratification very quickly because you're trying to give freely. But here, what Prabhupada is explaining in the purport and what is explained in this particular Srimad Bhagavatam is a higher form of charity that we need to do, and that is pleasing to the Lord. So the Lord is definitely pleased when we do such charity of, giving to the poor, giving to the needy. The Lord is very pleased. But we have to also do charity to the Brahmanas. It is very important because what she said, what her mother told me is that, nowadays we don't go and do any charity to the Brahmanas. We just go to social organizations and we give things in charity over there because we don't want to feed the Brahmanas. Everyone is feeding the Brahmanas, so we want to feed the people who are not being fed. So I told her, it is very nice. You want to feed the people who are not being fed, but you should also feed the Brahmanas. And then we explained why to her. So here Prabhupada is explaining, only the Brahmanas and Sannyasis are authorized to accept charity from the householders. In all the different occasions of samskaras, especially during the time of birth, marriage and death, wealth is distributed to the Brahmanas because the Brahmanas give the highest quality of service in regard to the prime necessity of humankind. What is that? To release us from the cycle of birth, disease, old age and death. The charity was substantial in the shape of gold, land, villages, horses, elephants and food grains with other materials for cooking, complete foodstuff. The Brahmanas were not therefore poor in the actual sense of the term. On the contrary, because they possessed gold, land, villages, horses, elephants, they had nothing to earn for themselves. They would simply devote themselves to the well-being of the entire society. And they would themselves distribute the extra in charity. It was not that they possessed all those things and enjoyed it. They themselves would give it out in charity also. So the reason the Vedic system, the Varnashram system that Sri Krishna has described in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the Chaturvarnya Maya system, so the Brahmanas are supported by the Grihastha Ashram. So the householder ashram supports the remaining three ashrams, which is Brahmacharya, which is the student class, and then the Vanaprasthas, which is the old people, and the renounced order. So the Grihastha Ashram is extremely important for Grihasthas to do charity because these other three ashrams are dependent upon the Grihastha Ashram for their sustenance. And these other three ashrams are very important. It is very important that children get the right spiritual education. And the brahmacharis are able to, live a life of preaching and sharing Krishna consciousness with others and being an example for all of us. And they don't have to worry about whether their needs are being taken care of or not. So it is very important for us to support them. And it's very important for us to support the vanaprasthas also because at that age, we don't, they are preparing for death. They're preparing so that they can remember Krishna at the time of death. They've already done their duties and we have benefited a lot from them. So it is important we support the Vanaprasthas because then they can completely devote themselves in taking care of the ultimate goal of life because all the responsibilities are done. You don't want a 70-year-old still worrying about how to make money, right? You want, or a 50-year-old also in my opinion. You want so that they can just completely give their life in Krishna consciousness. They can serve Krishna, they can remember Krishna, read about Krishna, and develop their full consciousness. And also these sannyasis and brahmacharis already discussed. So this is what Prabhupada is explaining. And then the second paragraph. The Tirthavit is significant because the king knew well where and when charity has to be given. Charity is never unproductive or blind. And Bhagavad Gita describes the different types of charities in the 18th chapter. In the Shastras, charity was offered to persons who deserve to accept charity by dint of spiritual enlightenment. Now, people may say, oh, there are no such Brahmanas left. No, there are many such Brahmanas. If you want to, then you will find them. The so-called Daridya Narayana, a misconception of the Supreme Lord by unauthorized persons, is never to be found in the Shastras as the object of charity. So, that's what Prabhupada is telling. Nor can a wretched poor man receive much beneficent charity in the way of all these things, because what he will do, he will enjoy all these things and then he will throw it, he may just blow it away. Or he may not have the right consciousness on how he will use, and he may use it to maybe drink and have meat and all those things. What do you know what they do with your money? The conclusion is that the intelligent men or the brahmanas specifically engaged in the service of the Lord were properly maintained without anxiety for the needs of the body, and the king and other householders looked after their comfort. So then in the end, Prabhupada is explaining about the jata karma, the cutting of the cord, the umbilical cord, and he writes, the administrative demigods and past forefathers of the family come to see a newly born child, and such an occasion is specifically accepted as a proper time for distributing wealth to the right persons productively for the spiritual advancement of society. So we have to be thankful that the child has been born properly. That is how you express gratitude towards the demigods, that everything happened properly. So we finished with the 14th text, and then there is further description about the different charities that happened. See, now you may think, but the sages of Naimisharanya asked Yudhishthira Maharaj only about Parikshit Maharaj. Why is Suta Goswami explaining all this charity? No, because it is required for us to understand. We need to, you know, what is the culture, what we have to do, what consciousness we have to have. That's it from my side till text 14 today, and then we will continue reading the next few verses next week. Next week is Tuesday. So thank you very much. Is there any discussion? Any point?